Blog Talk Radio. That's his coffin. Hey, ladies.
Hello, can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes, good evening.
Yes. Good evening. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hello. Is Stacy
on? Can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, I think we're having a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay. Well, to everybody that's listening, just be patient with us. We're getting it together.
Okay.
I know we were talking about having a hole in our heart tonight.
Yes.
And I know we had some lyrics that we wanted to go over. So I'm just going to read them. And
Hello?
Stacey, hello?
Hello?
Hi, Stacey.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello,
Stacy.
Hello. Hi.
Stacy?
No, this is Danielle.
Oh, hi, Danielle. I'm Erica.
Hi, nice to meet you, Erica.
Nice to meet you.
Is this
Stacy?
Hi, Stacey?
Erica. This is Millicent.
Oh, hi, Millicent. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So it looks like there's a little technical issues going on.
Yeah.
Can anybody hear me? This is Edna.
Yes.
Hi, Edna.
I can hear you. Can hear you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, good evening. Can everyone hear me now?
Is this Stacy?
Yes.
Yes. Can everyone hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
I apologize for the technical difficulties, and we are going to get started. And I apologize to my radio listeners. They couldn't hear me, and now we are here. So my apologies. Tonight's show is the Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking View, where real talk for real people talk show. And tonight we're going to be talking about Donald Lawrence's song that he wrote for Leandria Johnson. And before she starts singing, he asks this question: do you have a hole in your heart? Eloquently speaking, when people have a hole in their heart, it represents a void, an emptiness, a hurt, a pain, a disappointment or shame, or something that embarrasses or keeps them down. Do you ever beat yourself up for making a mistake? Are you hard on yourself? If so, please join in the conversation tonight. We're going to open up the mics and let our panelists introduce themselves. And we're going to begin with our first guest. I'm just going to go down the list. Etna, could you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, ladies. My name is Etna Smith, and I live in Philadelphia.
Okay, welcome to the show. And our next guest is Marilyn.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Marilyn Yard. I'm from Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Thank you for joining us. And our next guest is Millicent.
Hi, everybody. And my name is Millicent Murray, and I live in Delaware now via Philadelphia.
Welcome, welcome. And then we have Erica Burnett.
Hi, I'm Erica Burnett, entrepreneur and certified life coach, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Welcome, welcome. And then we have Jamie Lay. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, I'm Jamie L. from Michigan.
Jamie L.
Happy
Sorry
to be here.
For now. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Everyone butchers it wrong. It's okay.
Okay. So, ladies, thank you so much. We're going to open up the mic, and I'm going to ask that everybody, you know, just take one person at a time as we open up the discussion. Have you all listened to the song Deliver Me by Donald Lawrence?
Yes.
Okay. So on that part where he asked that question, do you ever overthink? Has anyone ever overthought different situations where you're going through a trial and a tribulation? And have you ever found yourself between a rock and a hard place with overthinking things? And I want you to think about that. And I'm going to call on Millicent, and she's going to pick up from here, and then we're going to go around the table. Millicent, the mic is yours.
Amen, amen. And so So what Stacey is alluding to when you talk about a rock and a hard place in your emotions, it's really we're talking about not being able to, let's put it this way, being so emotional in a situation that you don't know which way to go. And so when you look at Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2, which says, I love you, Lord, you are my strength. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me and my place of safety. And so when you're between a rock and a hard place with your emotions, you don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to turn. You want to go one way or the next. You're questioning everything. Am I doing the right thing? Am I not? Am I going the right direction, Lord? What am I doing here? And so when you start to go through that, you're trying to find a way out, right? You're trying to find a way to sliver out between that situation because it doesn't feel comfortable when you don't know which way to go. It doesn't feel comfortable when you're stuck. You know what I mean? But when you think about the Lord being your rock, when you think about him being your fortress, when you think about him being your protection, then in actuality, you are surrounded by him. He is your rock. And so that rock in that hard place is actually God. He has you in the front. He has you in the back. He has you on the side. And so when you think that you're not covered, he actually has you covered, and he's protecting you from all of those things that we go through, all of those emotions, all of those, you know, problems and situations that make us want to run. You know, we want to get out of it. That's, you know, when the song talks about the exodus, you want to exit. You want to find a way to get out. But God wants you to stay sometimes in that rock and hard place, which is him. Another part of the scripture says that he's my stronghold. And stronghold there means that he has you totally surrounded and protected from all hurt, harm, and danger. So when you think about that and just imagine yourself with a rock surrounding you, imagine yourself with a rock. You can't go anywhere. If you try to back up, there's a rock. If you try to go forward, there's a rock. Everything is surrounding you, but you are protected. Don't look at it from the negative part of being a rock in a hard place, because normally when we use that term, a rock in a hard place, everyone thinks of, you know, being in a predicament or being in a catch-22 or being in a no-win situation, being a, some of us call it a jam. You know, I'm in a jam. I'm in a top a tight spot, or I'm cornered. But when you think that you are covered, your exodus is actually when you look up. Your exodus is when you look up, because you're covered on all sides by a rock, by the safety. But when you look up, there's Jesus right there. There's God right there. He's your exodus. And so when you think about being in a rock and a hard place, you're actually protected. You're actually kept. He keeps you safe. You're safe in his arms. You're safe in his protection. And even though you're going through these issues, you can trust God even through all your emotions, even through all your ups and downs, even through all your indecisions. Because when it says, when you talk about a whole, you know, it's like you're not, you know, when you talk about not being whole, but actually we are in Christ. We are in him. And he always protects us. He is such a good, good father that even when we try to get out of that protection, he still keeps us covered. And so think of a rock in a hard place in a different way. Don't think of it anymore as a difficulty or there's no way out or I can't go anywhere. Think of it actually think of it actually as God surrounding you and protecting you on all sides so that he can minister unto you, so that he can love on you, so that he can share his word with you, so that you can grow and mature in him, right? So that's how you should think of a rock in a hard place. And the one thing that I did, and I'm not going to leave before you long because there's other ladies on the line, but what I started to do is look at the different types of rocks. And it was interesting to note that in those different types of rocks that they all needed heat, but one would break up. So we got the sedimentary rock, right? Sedimentary rock is the type of rock that is soft. So it breaks up very, very easily. It crumbles with your bare fingers. The igneous rock is a rock that is formed also through lava. The magma or the lava, and it's heating. It's a heating process. The temperature is increased, and there's a decrease in pressure for this, and the increase in temperature, decrease in pressure, and a change in the composition. And so it needs heat in order for it to form. And the same thing with the next rock, which is really awesome, is the metamorphic rock. And this rock is formed, again, also through heat. But when you think about this rock, it's talking about the transformation. And so when you think about Romans chapter 12, where it says, don't be conformed to this word, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, this particular rock actually heats up the pressure in it, forms the rock and actually changes it into something else. And so even though the sedimentary rock, where some of us are soft, some of us are soft in our emotions, we're breaking down, we don't know which way to go, and sometimes we can break down easily. But when the heat is applied, when you let God apply that heat to you, when you let him have you in that rock and a hard place so that you can start to form and you can start to transform and you can start to grow, and those things that easily caused you issues or easily caused your emotions to break down, those things will start to change as you grow in him. Then that's when you become that metamorphic rock. And so instead of thinking of a rock and a hard place as a bad thing, now you can think, wait, I'm in a situation. This is where I can trust God. This is where I know he will take care of me. Just think of a bill that you have due. You know you got to pay the gas bill and the electric bill, right? PGW want their money. Pico Energy want their money. You can't pay both, but you got to pay one of them. But one is going to turn off. It's just that simple. That's what it is. But then you say, God, I'm in between this situation, but I know you got me protected. I know you got me surrounded. I know you got this situation. You already know what I have need of before I ask. And the next thing you know, a check comes in the mail, and it takes care of that other bill. The whole purpose is when you're in that rock and hard place, we know that it is God that you're in between, that he's protecting you, and that you can put your full trust in him.
Wow, thank you so much. That was awesome. I wrote down a few things that you were saying, and before I turn the mic over to the next person, I want you guys to think about the non-traditional ways that God blesses us, because I'm quite sure when you heard the topic, are you between a rock and a hard place with your thinking? The normal way is, you know, we overthink, we overanalyze, we get nervous, we worry, fear trickles in sometimes. And it's okay because it's part of the process of learning how to trust God. But when you hear what Millicent said about being surrounded by the rock, she said, everywhere you go, it's a rock, it's a rock. And God said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And as we grow in our relationship with God and with ourselves, we learn not to overthink so much. We learn not to respond to our feelings and our emotions. But I don't want to negate the fact that somebody is listening tonight that may be overthinking, that may not know how to trust God as being their rock and knowing that bill is going to get paid. So, the next person that we're going to bring to the mic, the last four numbers is 1042. Maryland, the mic is yours.
Amen, Sister Millicent. Amen. Thank you for that word.
Amen.
I found on what she said, and yes, he is my rock, and he is my fortress, and I shall not be greatly moved. And that is Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation, and he is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. So when I'm in that rock and that hard place, I have learned through experience to trust him. And if we're talking about those who haven't had experience with him, there are some times maybe you haven't realized or you didn't understand that it was him, but he is there before you even get there, before you even get in the rock in the hard place. He's already prepared a way for you. If you stand and let him do what he can do, you can come out of it. I've seen him do it time and again for me. And yes, I get the worrying. I do. We all do it. It's just something that we do. But if you really trust him, it's nothing to worry about. It's nothing to fear. Don't be moved. You shouldn't be moved. We shouldn't be moved because he has already prepared a way for us. He's already prepared a plan of escape for us or a way of escape for us. We have to learn to trust in what he has already done for us or already put in place for us, and be filled with joy and peace in that moment when you're in that rock and that hard place, knowing that it's going to turn around. And yes, sometimes it's things that we want that he don't want for us. Sometimes we get in that rock and a hard place because it's something that we chose to do that he didn't call us to do or he didn't ordain for us to do. And then we find ourselves in that place. And even when we do that, he still has a way of escape for us. He still has a way out for us. That's all I want to say.
Wow. Okay, that's deep. You know, when everybody says something, if anything stands out to me, I'm going to highlight that, and I'm just highlighting for food for thought. Because when anybody is speaking, if you want to jot down stuff so you won't don't forget what you want to say, that's good. Because we're just going to have a discussion and keep going around the table. And we're going to turn the mic over to Erica. What do you have to say about this?
Hi, hello, hello. Like everyone, I've been through a rock and a hard place multiple times. Okay, not just one, but I do remember one distinctly, and it was regarding a former job position that I had where it seemed like the walls were closing in on me and everybody was against me and the boss was trying to get me fired and all sorts of stuff was going on. And I went home nights and was in tears. And I was afraid of losing my job. I had bills to pay and all that other stuff, and that's all I thought about. And it's amazing, though, at every turn of every tear that I had, every way I looked, a loved one would come out of the woodworks, out of nowhere. Everything's going to be okay. I was walking down the street one day, going to this job, and I said, I got to go to this job again so I get a new one. And here my family members come up. You want to ride to work? They spoke life to me. They spoke life into me that morning. I got to work. I felt so much better. Then I had a former boss who said, I know what you're going through. Let me help you out. So I had help coming from all ways. And the thing about that is what I learned in that moment when I was in between that rock and a hard place, that God is always there. And even though we don't think about him in that moment, but I knew he was when I saw those people. It was like seeing him through the loved ones that approached me during that difficult time. And also sometimes I actually, you learn a lesson through that. And I, at that time, you don't even bother to think about what you need to learn, but it's good. It's good in a way if you can sit back and say, okay, this is happening for a reason. I am not going through this for no reason at all. There's something I'm supposed to learn. And a lot of times when you think about a lesson that you can learn through any ordeal that you go through, it'll settle you down a little bit. When you sit back and you think, what is it that I need to take from this situation? What is it that I need to learn? What is it doing for me? It could be possibly making you stronger emotionally. It could make you see God in a strengthen your relationship with him. And that's what I learned. And that's actually one of the ways that he reached me, because at that time I was at the beginning of my relationship, like my walk with God. That was the very beginning. So sometimes we go through that stuff and God is saying, here I am. I'm trying to reach you. You know, I'm trying to talk to you and let you know I'm here. So sometimes you have to look at it that way, and that's a good way just to learn that lesson. And it's just kind of, because not everybody is in that walk yet. They're not that strong in their relationship with God. And some people don't even know, like, who he really is. They might know there is a God, there is a creator, but they really don't know what it means to know who he is in their life. So the only way I can say is for those people who are going through that, try to find out what lesson you may learn through what you're going through. That'll kind of give you a little bit of peace that what you're going through now is not, you know, in vain. You're learning something from it. You're growing from it. You're, you know, getting stronger from it.
Wow, that was powerful. And that is, I'm going to repeat the question she said, what do I need to take from this situation and what can I learn? And those are really good questions to ask. And being honest, when you are growing in your relationship with God, and I mean everybody is on different levels, and I don't care how much you trust him, there's always a wave that comes up a little bit higher than your faith. And we all have faith disengagements. But the key is, as we do grow and mature in God, we learn how to trust him. And so we don't complain and cry like we used to, because I was a crybaby. God, why is this happening? But we say, okay, God, what do you want me to learn from this? And that's such a good question, because until you learn that lesson, you're going to stay in that storm. And God is going to be right there with you. But oftentimes, we trust God, we believe God. Psalms 23, it says, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. But then it says, he leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then it transcends to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And like when you was by them still waters, your thoughts was calm, the water was calm. You might have had a couple of friends around or supporters around, but the closer you got to that valley, people started falling back because ain't nobody going with you in the valley. That's something you have to do. And in that valley, it says the shadow of death is really not death. You're not going to die. There's a lesson for you to learn. There's some things you have to face in that dark place. So in that dark place, I could just imagine Jonah saying, you know, how long am I going to be in here? What is the lesson I need to learn? I tried to do everything I wanted to do. And maybe I should try doing it God's way. And so the moment Jonah said, okay, I'm going to submit, I'm going to repent, and I'm going to do what God is telling me to do, then he came out of that storm. He came out of that dark place. Because technically, you could be between a rock and a hard place because of your rebellion, because of your disobedience. But sometimes you could be between a rock and a hard place, and you didn't do anything wrong. But the enemy will play mind games with you, and that's why I want to talk about overthinking and overanalyzing things. And everybody's input is wonderful. But, Erica, that was powerful. And I am going to ask everyone to be mindful of how different situations and circumstances, whether you were strong in the Lord, growing in the Lord, not as strong in the Lord. And again, even when you're strong, sometimes you're weak. And it's okay to be weak. It's okay to say, God, I need you to strengthen me. Because when we're weak, he is strong. But I want us to look at the contrast of being strong in the Lord and being weak in the Lord. Because when we're strong in the Lord, we have high self-esteem. And when we're not so strong, our self-esteem is not as strong. And that's where the enemy loves to, you know, sneak in and throw all of these lies at us. And if we're not careful, we'll embrace that lie. And once we embrace that lie, we become that lie. We live that lie, and it steals our voice, our power, our authority, our identity in Christ, and we end up in a situation we really didn't have to be in. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Edna. Are you ready, or are you still listening?
I'm still listening.
Okay, Jamie L., do you want to comment?
I don't have a whole lot to say, but I'm just so overwhelmed with so many, with all the encouragement from hearing you ladies speak tonight. It definitely put in perspective for me, the trials that I've experienced in my life. The verse that came to my head was, I think it's 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, where it says, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, but always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed or manifested in our bodies. You know, so it's like thinking about what you guys are saying, you know, it's just like, even regardless of what we're going through, you know, God is still molding us. He's still refining us to be more like Jesus. So I really like the perspective earlier you said about it's just the way we look at things. Like Jesus is not, you know, doing things for us to like try to like harm us or bring us down. Like he's always doing it to make us be more like him. It's this refining process, this sanctification that, you know, is constantly going to be going on every day in our life. So I just been really feeling just really encouraged, you know, and thinking that, you know, it's not just regardless of what happens on the outside of my body or external circumstances, that the pressure is not weighing on me inside, because the pressure inside is greater. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the grace that God has given me inside to endure anything that comes at me. You know, so I really, you know, and anyone else that's listening. So, you know, I really appreciate God's wisdom he poured into y'all to help me and other people that are struggling.
Amen. Now, Millicent, I have to come back to you because she just said pressure inside. And I want to thank you for sharing. Everybody that's been sharing the scriptures, like, I am so happy because they are so on point. And we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So that word despair, it works closely with the spirit of heaviness that is recorded in Isaiah 61 and verse 3. And a lot of times when we operate in the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of despair, despondency, discouragement, depression, all of those things that weigh you down. And what we need to learn how to do is release those things to God and go to him in prayer. But I'm not, but some people don't know how to do that. And then to be honest, sometimes the heat, the pressure is just so much that they feel overwhelmed. So, Millicent, I'm coming back to you because she said the pressure inside. So I really thank God for the insight that he gave you, because you gave the definition of heat in a couple of different ways. So I want you to elaborate on whichever one of those heat mechanisms that was personal for you that helped you out of a situation where you found yourself between a rock and a hard place. And as we go around the table, I'm not going to call on the next one. When Millicent finished, then whoever feels led to comment behind her, that's fine. But Millicent, the mic is yours. When you're done talking, saying the mic is yours to the next person. So that way we're not over-talking everyone.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So when I was talking about the heat, and I was talking about those different rocks and the heat that they need to be able to be a rock, because it took heat in order for them to be a rock. But when you think about the sedimentary rock, it didn't heat long enough. And neither did the igneous rock, even though it was getting closer. But the metamorphic rock, that other rock, it wanted to be transformed. And so the issue is this, right? In Psalms 46, verse 10a, the first part of that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so when you think about being still, that means I'm going to shut up, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to know that he is God. I'm going to shut up, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to know that he is God. And so what happens is when that heat of pressure, when those issues come against us, that it seems like we have no way to turn, sometimes God wants us just to stop and listen to him and know that if he brought us out of this situation, he's going to bring us out of the next one. And so for me, I had to learn that. I had to learn to trust in God. And I'm going to be honest with you, that was not easy, because, and I was talking to someone earlier about this, that when we get saved and we get saved, we know the Holy Spirit moves into us or whatever, moves into us, transfers our spirit, and we are a child of God, right? But we still got to go through that transformation. We still have to become more like Christ. And that takes some steps. The word says to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? And so you have to go through different situations, because you got to think about your life. You got to think about your childhood, different things that you went through. I didn't have a father, so I didn't know how to relate to God as a father. I didn't know how to relate to Jesus as my Lord, because I didn't know what that looked like. And so God had to put me under some pressure. He had to show me that you're going to trust me. I need you to see that I am with you. I know your earthly father wasn't with you, but I am with you. God said that his ways are higher than our ways. I had to believe that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I had to believe that. That even when he talked about how a father can give good gifts, and then how much more do you think I could do? An earthly father can give good gifts, but what about me? I am higher than that. And so I had that. It took some rough places for me to get there, to recognize that he is my Lord and my Savior, and that I can trust him. And so when those heat of situations came against me, and I was the type of person that I could figure it out, I would sit back and figure out an issue and then come up with a solution and go for it. And God said, nope, I'm putting you in a situation where you can't make no decisions now. So here I am, and I'm going to be fast. I left my job to work my business right before COVID. And COVID happened. And then I couldn't go back to my job. And guess what? That was 2 years ago, and God still kept me all this time. Was it easy? Nope. But I had to learn how to get on my knees. I learned to cry out to God. I learned how to look. Man, he showed me so many things inside of me that I didn't know was in me. And I was like, oh, my God, the things I had to repent of, that pressure it's going to either squeeze you and it's going to get all that nastiness out of you and you're going to say, God, I yield. Or you're going to keep bucking against it and you're not going to let God mold you and shape you and you're going to stay that sedimentary rock. And when things and issues come against you, you're going to crumble up. But if you let yourself be that magmatic, that metamorphic rock, and let God squeeze you and let that heat of issues and pressures of life grow you and mature you, you're going to come out. You're going to come out so much differently. And then when the enemy comes against you, you'll be able to stand. And so it's so important that when we go through dire things, don't think of it strange because we're going through an issue, because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't care nothing about you. And so if he can make you freak out over a little bill, cool. He good with that. He's going to let you freak out, let you be all worried. You worried about a relationship? All right. I'm going to keep using that person to knock you down. I'm going to keep using that person to keep you between, you know, all emotional and all upset. I'm going to keep using that against you. And then you're not going to grow. You're not going to mature. And then you're wondering why you're not seeing the things of God that you need to. And so I had to learn that, man. And I'm going to tell you, and I can tell a testimony later, but let me tell you, it was tough. But thank God that he finally broke me down to where he needed to have me so that I could say, God, I yield. I'm yours. What you need? I pass it on.
Awesome. Next person.
Amen, Millicent. Amen again, Millicent. Am I the last one? Oh, yes. Am I the last one? This is Edna.
Edna, go ahead. The mic is yours.
Okay. I wanted to hear everything before I spoke. And I wrote some notes for myself. And one of the things that stuck out most, if I had to use the scripture, it would be Psalms 27:7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. And answer me. I heard you say, Stacy, early on about the hole in your heart. I heard we're surrounded by God's love and care for us. He protects us. Some things are traditional and some things are non-traditional. But trusting God and having patience is what I learned through some of the things that I've been through in my own life. And I just want to share a little bit about not always seeing what I thought I should in order for me to feel and trust God like I should. But over a period of time, I've evolved in my spiritual growth. And one of the issues that's close to me is a personal one about marriage. And I learned the hard way, the in-between way,
that I can say to you ladies now that trusting God and believing that he hears you when you cry is a place of involvement that you have to get to so he can do the work that we're asking him to do. For me, I had to do it over and over and over and use the hurt and the pain to propel me in a place where I could become the wife that he wants me to be. So I've had a second chance to become a wife. I'm going to remarry my one and only husband. We were married for 15 years, divorced for 9, and reconciled for 1. The hole in my heart was children. Through this union, the second time around, I have a bonus child. I want to tell you that I'm so grateful to God, and watching how he moved and how he did what he did to get us back to where we are now is just a testimony that I'll probably share in length at another time. But I just want to talk about the trusting and learning to trust God and believing, that's the biggest part, believing that he hears our cries is a promise that he made us and that he keeps. So be encouraged, each of you. I'll pray for you and you pray for me that we could continue to be the daughters that God called us to be.
All right. Thank you so much. That was powerful. And very good highlights. Very good. Marilyn, come on. I believe you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I was just saying because Millicent was talking about standing, and I just thought about Ephesians and how we can stand if we are covered with our armor. So stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit with the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If we keep ourselves suited up, suited and booted for these trying times, these rocks and hard places, fiery darts, this fire that comes to destroy us. And for those who don't have they don't have the experience to trust God. You're just newly getting to know the Lord. Those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a while, those of us who have been through these trials and do know that when we stand against the wiles of the devil, he's there, you know what I mean, to protect us. We are the ones that are supposed to be showing those that are younger. If every time we go through something, we fall apart, how is that strengthening our weaker brother or sister? We're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. So we have to start showing that strength that God has built up in us through our experiences that we've been through, those hard times, those trying times, those times when we were on the floor crying, and how he showed us that that's not where you need to be, because he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind on him. He is made his strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we are in that weakest moment, that's when he can show up. He can't do nothing when we keep trying to do it. When we allow and put our hands up and say, that's it, Daddy, I can't do this no more. We have to surrender it to him. And a lot of times we try to fix it and try to make it, you know, and that's where the worrying comes in, because it's like, how am I going to do this? And I have to ask the question, how's that working out for you? That's the question I have to ask, because everybody that I know that sits and worries, it doesn't resolve a thing. Like, what is your payoff to sit there and keep going back and forth with, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get this money? How am I going to do this? If you don't have it, you don't have it. It's just that simple. But for whatever reason, in our minds, and that's where the battlefield is at, in our mind. As a man thinketh, so he is. If we don't start thinking
in a different way and start thinking about how God is our peace and how if we stay focused on the things of him, that he can keep us in peace even in a tornado. You know, I've seen people on, you know, in a natural disaster, and you see them out there picking their stuff up off the ground, and you're thinking to yourself, why are they so calm? I guarantee you they know the Lord. I guarantee it. And I know I've been in some really bad, hard places, and people have looked at me and said, well, why, you know, how you so calm? Because I done tried them before, and I know them. And he done showed me over and over and over again, I got you. You're my child. Ain't none of us, not one of us here that's a mother or if a father's listening, is going to leave their kids and see them by the wayside. They're going to do whatever they can to make it happen. He's our dad. He's going to look out for us. We have to remember that and keep that in our hearts and our minds, in the forefront of our minds, and not let these trivial things of this earth and this world get to us. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
Amen. That's so good.
I wanted to feed off it. Was that Marilyn that just went this call?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to feed off of that and about when you made the statement about, you know, paying your bills, and when you look at it, you don't have the money, you don't have it, right? So I wanted to feed off of that and say we just have to sit back and look at the whole picture and look at it from all sides and just sit back and say, okay, well, I can't fix that. I have no control over. Let's say, like you said, you don't have the money for the bill. Well, I don't have the money for the bill. What can I do about that? Well, I can't have, there's no more overtime. I can't do that. I can't borrow from anybody. The bank won't give me any money so I can pay these bills. And if you look at stuff from all angles and notice that you have no control whatsoever, and then out of the blue, not out of the blue, basically, well, that's how we take it. We always say out of the blue, from nowhere, it's a miracle, whatever have you. You get money from somewhere. Somebody just all of a sudden says or gives you a tip. You might be out, or somebody might drop $20. You might find $20 on the street, or somebody might, you're out of groceries or something. You can't pay your bills. You're short on groceries. Somebody might say, you know what? I got this extra loaf of bread. And I got some peanut butter, and I got, you know, some extra stuff that somebody just gave me, and I already got enough, and I, you know, I got my refrigerator's full. I don't need it. You know, do you want this? And here you're sitting here on the sofa in tears, and you don't know how you're going to eat. You don't know how your children going to eat. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. But yet somebody all of a sudden has extra food that they don't need that you can have. And you did absolutely nothing to get this. And you have to sit back and wonder and say, man, was I lucky? No, it wasn't luck. And most of us like to call it luck. When we don't have that relationship with God, a lot of people will say it was luck because they just don't know. Then you got to look at those things in your past. It says, now how did I get back? How did I get? And you have to look at the situation. A lot of times we don't. When you get older is when you learn and you look back and you say, well, that situation I made it out of. That situation, and the next one I made it out of. With no work on my own, with no effort on my own, I made it through those tough times, and I really didn't do anything. It was always outside help that counseled me, that gave me the necessary help that I needed. I really didn't do anything. It was other people that did it. It was always someone from the outside coming in to help me. And we got to think about stuff like that. And if you notice that, if you talk to seniors, like if you talk to your elders, your senior people, the matriarchs of your family, if you sit back and you listen to the stories that they tell you about their past or in all the situations they went through and they made it through and they got a smile on their face, and if you notice when you tell them your ordeal and what you're going through, and they say, oh, child, it'll be fine. And you sitting there looking at them, it'll be fine. I can't pay no bill. And the reason why they're like that is because they have already been down multiple roads, like the ones you're going down now, and they made it through. And they know for a fact that the same God that helped them through all their stuff and why they smile like they do, and they're not worried that you won't make it through, and they know you're going through it, is because they know God is right there. He saw them through their tough times, and he gonna see you through yours. That's why they feel calm. Because I used to look at my mother like that. I'll say, "Well, is she be looking at me, child? Please." And that's what she used to say. Please, that ain't nothing. Nothing compared to the stuff that I went through. She said, "You'd be fine." And then she moved on. She want gravy on that. And she just moving past the down the table. Not a worry in sight. She don't even sit there and worry to this day. And my mother's 75. And she always says, "Child, ain't nothing."
Mm-hmm.
That's from experience. That's experience. They know. If you sit down and talk to enough people, you just got to sit back and you got to look at your life from now, from past until now, from before until now, like early on until this moment. Everything that you went through in your past, you made it through with just about no effort on your own, if you think about it. No effort whatsoever.
Ooh.
Someone was always there to help you, to give you advice,
mm-hmm.
to tell you where to go. Go talk to this person. Go talk to that person. Because God uses us all. He uses people. When we don't know, when we don't have that relationship with him, he uses people to speak into our lives and say, this is where you go. This is what you do. This is who you talk to.
Amen.
All the time. And we don't pick up on it because we're so frantic, we don't pay attention. But if you look back, you'll see all of it. The evidence is right there. And that looking at your past life is the reassurance to now. So when you get to those experiences now and those rock and those hard places, all you got to do is look back and say, remember that time when I had lost my job and the landlord was kicking me out? And look what happened. Somebody showed up and gave me some money. Someone showed up and said, I can stay with them for like a month or two before I get off my feet without me asking. You know what I mean? They found out what my situation was, and they gave me a helping hand. We all have stories like that. We just got to look at those stories and know that we will be fine. He got our backs.
Amen. Yes, he does. I just want to tell y'all one more thing. I don't know if you know anybody that's been in Alcoholics Anonymous or not, but they had this prayer. And every time I hear it, I can't help but think it's like the best prayer in the world. And that is, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Absolutely.
Courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Taking this world as it is and that not as I would have it, trusting that you make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
that's
amen.
One. I have a serenity prayer in my bathroom. I love that prayer.
Amen. I need that prayer.
Well, we'll make sure you get a copy.
Amen.
And, to everyone that is listening, we thank you for tuning in. If you have a comment or a question and you're listening via the internet, please post on the comment board and on the message board, and we will address your question or your comment. And if you're listening via the telephone, please press 1 and we will grace you on the mic. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking View Real Talk for Real People talk show. And I pray that you have been blessed so far by our discussion. We're going to continue with the discussion. And what was standing out to me when Erica was speaking was God is a present help in the time of trouble. So we opened up talking about overthinking and overanalyzing. And then Millicent started talking about, the rocks in that hard place and how the heat and that sedimentary rock, like it's just not there. It's not cooked all the way, so to speak. But that metamorphic rock She mentioned Romans 12 and 2. And no matter what we go through, if our mind doesn't change, our mindset doesn't change, we're going to stay in those same patterns. And if we're not really trusting God, and I do want to say it's a difference with really trusting God and relying on God. And the reason I say that is because when I was pregnant with my daughter, someone had a broke tear and put it at my station, and I was 5 months pregnant. So I fall to the floor in excruciating pain. I'm placed on bed rest for the remainder of my pregnancy. My manager harassed me. I ended up being out on long-term disability. And to make a long story short, after that ran out, they absorbed my job. So now I'm about to have a baby. I have my other children, and I don't have an income. And I was worrying. But my children was like, but, Mom, you always tell us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. So what are you worrying about? He's going to take care of us. And I think it was Erica that said, when you least expect it, I may not be saying it the way you said it, but when you least expect it, somebody will bless you, and you didn't even ask for their help.
Mm-hmm.
So this one day, like, we was really low on groceries, and I prayed to God, and that's all I did. I just prayed to God. So he sent my neighbor up the street to call me. And she said, Stacy, I'm on my way to the market. Do you need anything? And I said, no, I'm okay. She said, stop lying, because the Holy Spirit told me to call you and get your list for the grocery store.
Wow.
So, you know, she's very direct like that. You know, and that's something I want us to really be mindful of. Like, I want us to be honest, like brutally honest, because that's how people get set free. So when she brought those groceries to my house, all I could do was say, God, I thank you, and I praise you. And at, let's do a divine reversal, she and her husband were going through a difficult time, and he used me to do the same thing. And so they didn't know how they was going to get out of the situation they were in. And she denied that she needed help, just like I did. So the culprit here is the spirit of pride. Sometimes when we need stuff, we're too prideful to ask for help. And it's okay to ask for help. And she was overthinking. She was overanalyzing. I was overanalyzing. But at the end of both of our stories, God stepped in. And not only did he step in, but we had a very deep discussion on Romans 12 and 2 that says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to learn how to respond to the word of God versus responding to our feelings and our emotions. And the biggest emotion is the spirit of fear, which does not come from God. So right away, from today moving forward, and you may do it anyway, but when you feel fearful, feel the fear and do it anyhow. Because he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not even death. But we got to feel our fears, because the things we fear are the very things that God is going to use to mature us. And we learn how to depend on him and rely on him. And to be honest, it's almost like blindly following God. God, I'm going through this situation. I'm fearful. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. So I'm going to turn the mic over. Who's next? Did anybody have anything to say?
Amen.
This is Jamie L. Okay.
Yeah. I just want to, I know we didn't really touch on it, but I was, because I know you were saying, Stacy, is Stacy talking? Was just talking, correct?
Yes.
I know you were just saying, like, the difference between, like, trusting and reliance on God. And I know, like, you know, I know the biggest part of, like, the human, our human nature is our self-dependence that we have on ourselves, you know, and wanting to do things our way. And God is trying to strengthen us and help refine us to be able to trust in him. But I think also, too, like going back to what and forgive me if I can't remember the person's name who was speaking about like learning from elders and you know, in our life. I think just like if you, like you say, if you're coming from a broken home, you know, and you don't have parents, you know, that maybe have been there for you, you know, that's like the song, the deliverance song said, you know, something he said in there was about like, you know, because of these, you know, things that's happened, like it wounds our soul. And that plays a important part in our faith and trusting in God, too, I believe. So I think it's definitely important for the people out there, and myself included, is, you know, seek outside help, you know, definitely keep surrendering and crying out to God to heal you from that so you can trust into God, you know, a lot more. Because he is our Father, and he does want to give us all good things, you know, and that hinders us from our walk when we're not able to trust in him fully because of these things that's happened to us. So I just wanted to kind of put in that that component as well with any other type of wound that we have, you know. But I know for me personally in my life, that was something that I struggle with, and I'm getting therapy for right now. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Right.
We're going to take a commercial real quick because Erica is a life coach. So I'm going to turn the mic over to her so she could do the commercial. And after the commercial, we're going to come right back and pick up where Jamie L just left off, because what you just said is the missing link for this entire broadcast. No matter what the condition of your mind, your emotions, your feelings, if you have a hole in your heart, that's the area where we need to begin. When our mind is not equally aligned with our heart, they can't walk together. You're going to be out of agreement. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? So thank you so much for bringing that out. And we all, at one point or another, had a hole in our heart. Every woman that's on this line, you have a hole in your heart that I know about. And you know the hole that I had in my heart. And some of us have many holes. But through your testimonies, through the love that's in your heart because of those holes, is one of the reasons that I invited you to be a guest on this platform, because I believe that you have a word of healing and a word of deliverance in your mouth. And everybody comes in their own unique way. And I don't want anybody to hold back. And I know, Millicent, you said a few times, you know, I'm not going to be long. I want everybody to take your time. Don't feel rushed and don't feel pressured. When we get closer to the end of the show, I'm going to let everybody know, you know, when we down to like 15 minutes. And then that way we'll have to be a little shorter with our comments. But I want everybody to have the freedom to say what needs to be said, because we prepared for a long time for this night. And a lot of things went wrong, but it's all right right now. So we're going to turn it over to Erica Burnett, and she's going to bring this commercial.
All right. It's not going to be a long one. Mom, I'm Erica Burnett, entrepreneur, certified life coach, and I'm the owner of a stationery line called A Single Suggestion Stationery Business. Also, I am an owner of the coaching business called Pathways of Reflection. And the reason why, I was called to being a coach because it was far from my mind. Not that I didn't want to help people. It was just something that God put on my heart to say, okay, I need you to do this. And I was like, why? You know, but because I'm an introvert. I'm one of those people who's I'm too self, and I'm always in my head, like, you know, over analytical that we brought up earlier. But I do want to help people. I want to help people get better. I want to help people have a better quality of life, help them emotionally, mentally, and just let go some of those past pains and hurts, because I know what it is to go through a lot of pain and hurt and not have anyone to hear you. So I'm basically a listening ear. And that's what I always say. I sit and listen to people, not so much as to give them instruction, on what it is they need to do. I'll help them with that, but my first thing is to listen to them tell their story and what it is they need to get out, because so many people don't have anyone to listen to them. And a lot of times we have a habit as human beings listening only to say what we got to say. We really don't want to hear what others have to say. We just wait and get our word out after they're done. So I think that's very important. And I just became a certified life coach at the end of 2020, with October 2020. So if anyone is looking for any coaching services, again, it's Pathways of Reflection, and I can be, you can email me at pathwaysofreflection@gmail.com. I'm sorry. And I also am on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I post inspirational messages at least twice a day. And just reach out to me. I answer all my emails, and I always have time to talk.
Okay. Well, amen. Thank you so much. And everybody that's on the line, I will be calling on you throughout the various shows that we will be doing, so that everyone gets a chance to do a commercial and present your business or your ministry, because reciprocity is important, and I believe in giving back. And we haven't heard from Millicent in a while, so I want to turn the mic back over to her. And if you could piggyback off of, I mean, I ain't going to say that, just whichever way the Lord leads you. But I know I'm going to come back to the hole in the heart.
Amen. So, yeah, so actually, I took the time while Erica was doing a commercial. I was listening to you, Erica, but I was also looking at the lyrics to the song. Now, our praise team actually sings this song. And I was really looking at, especially in the beginning, and how he pulls Psalms 23 in there. But he was talking about that hole in the heart. And I wanted to, I was really looking at that, and I was really, like, kind of dealing with that. Because when I was talking about the being, you know, not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the young ladies talked about how that's where the battle is in your mind. And the mind, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, right? And our soul is actually the seat of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so that's why the battle was there, because that soul realm is the part of us that gets the attack. Our body just carries out whatever, you know, is going to carry out, right? And our spirit man, we know that we've been reborn through salvation and believing in Jesus Christ. But that soul realm is the part of us where we have that overthinking, where we have those holes in our heart because of the things that we've gone through, because of the things in our childhood. And like in the beginning of the song, it talks about some of those things. Like it mentions it, not in the song, but when Donald Lawrence is talking, he said things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation, and those things have left a hole in our heart, and sometimes it's hard to be delivered, and the enemy uses those things against us to keep us from moving forward in God. Because it's the thing about it is he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we may have life in that more abundantly. But the devil, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he doesn't want us to have an abundant life. As far as he's concerned, okay, fine. Y'all got saved. Okay, fine. You accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, great. Okay, I couldn't stop you from doing that. But I'm going to stop you from having a life more abundantly. I'm going to stop you from having a life that's rich in Christ. I'm going to stop you and hindering you from moving forth and going forth in ministry, because I don't want you to be the vehicle for somebody else to be delivered. And so even if your issue is not necessarily drugs or alcohol abuse, or you've never been molested, or you've never been abused, you've never been physically abused or mentally abused or any of those things, but maybe just the different things that's happened in your life has caused you to feel like you're not worthy, that you can't do certain things, that you can't move forward, that life is what it is and you can't have faith and it changes. There's a scripture that talks about hope deferred makes the heart sick. Maybe you've seen hope deferred so much that you just don't care, you know, about, or not that you don't care, but you just don't think that God is going to move on your behalf, that when you pray that God is not going to hear you because you're not worthy enough for him to hear you. And he may use, the enemy uses that to take those things from our childhood, whatever we thought in our childhood based off of different things that happened in our life. We carry those things through our adulthood. Here we go. We walk into salvation, and then we still have those holes. We still have those places in our heart that haven't been filled because we tuck them away. One of the things is we cover a hole. You ever see, you know, whenever there's a hole in the street and then the city repairs it, right? But as soon as it snows again and they put that salt down, that salt eats away at what was ever, when it, what covered that hole. It'll open back up. And so when we go through direst issues and problems, and when God starts, when issues and problems start to squeeze us and we have that pressure on us, it opens those holes. Now, what do you do when that hole is open? What do you do when it comes back to your mind that your uncle molested you? What do you do when it comes back to your mind that your father wasn't there for you to protect you? What do you do when your mom abused you and called you all kinds of bees and all kinds of names? What do you do with those holes when they pop open, when you're squeezed and when the pressure is on you? And that's why we have to look to God being the rock. That's why we have to look to him. And sometimes that's so hard to do. But that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't live this life on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why the Holy Spirit is within us to lead us and to guide us and to comfort us and all those things. Just like Sister Sandy said she needed groceries. And pride almost kept her from getting the blessing after she prayed for it. And then God said, the person, thank God they had the Holy Spirit, and thank God they had that boldness. They said, you lying, because the Holy Spirit just told me. And sometimes we look at blessings right in the face, and we ignore them because of pride, because the enemy, when you're broken and when you're hurt and when you feel embarrassed and when you're not in control and when you have that fear, then the enemy uses that and magnifies that, and then your pride takes over because I can't let people see. I'm a life coach. I can't let people see that I'm actually broken and I got holes. I minister to people. I can't let them see that I have holes in my heart, that there's things in me that I have not shared, the things I try to hide from God, but he already know, but I can hide them from people until somebody comes to you that's full of the Holy Spirit and power, and they say, God said, get rid of that. So what do you do with those holes when the pressure comes on you, when you're getting squeezed? And then that's when you go to God, because he is your exodus. He is your exit. He is your deliverer. He's your fortress. He's your stronghold. So even when you're being squeezed, he's still surrounding you and protecting you, and he's in you and within you. And so we can be glad in that. That's something that you can hold on to and say, God, I know this. I know that this is what your words are. There's so many scriptures. So many scriptures. Even I believe Erica, and I think it was one other young lady that actually said some of the other scriptures that talk about God being our rock and our fortress. I gave y'all Psalms 18, but there's more. There's more scripture that talk about that, because God wants us to know, I see you. I know every hair that's on your head. I knew you before you were even born. I knew you before you were formed and shaped in your mother's womb. I knew everything about you. I know everything about you because I created you. And I know what the devil is trying to throw against you. But I'm here for you. I'm your rock. I'm your protector. I even have angels protecting you from hurt, harm, or danger so you don't dash your foot against a stone. That's the things that we can hold on to. So thank God for those songs that talk about those holes in our lives. But thank God also that afterwards there is an exodus, and that's where the praise comes through. If you look at Psalms are praise, but there's also laments in Psalms. And David and some of the other writers talked about how hurt they were and how angry, and God, how you let this happen. But then at the end, every single time, they're praising him, and they say, because I know why you did this, because you are this, and you are that, and you are the other. They give God praise and they worship him, and that's how you get delivered, when you remember that he is with you, that when you remember that you already saw him be with you. What makes you think he's not going to be with you now? So what are you going to do when you get squeezed, when that pressure comes on you and those holes get open? What are you going to do with that? I know I had to look at them. I'm talking about in my living room, on the floor. Like, God, is that me? Because I'm the nice person. I'm the sweet person. I get along with everybody. Lord, is that me? Do I really have that attitude? Did that rise up in me? Is that a part of me? Lord, oh, my God, I didn't even know. I hid that away. I didn't know that that was even still there. Squeeze the pressure of life, squeezing those holes, squeezing and squeezing you, and those holes pop open. But God wants us to let them holes open. But he wants you to bleed out. He wants you to get out of you. He wants you, in order for you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you got to let yourself go through that pressure. You got to let yourself go through the pressure, and trust me, I'm still going through some of it, and all of these ladies on the line are also. So, Sandy said, Stacy said, put your comments in, put your questions in, so that you too can understand what you're going through and receive that deliverance that God has for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Millicent, thank you so much. And that is really somebody listening to this, or somebody's going to listen to it later. I mean, everybody's contribution is worthy of being heard. But I thank you so much for pouring out, and may God restore you. But this is why we're here. And that was a lot. And I want to give whoever has an opportunity to respond to please do so now. Whoever feels led.
I'm a piggyback off of when she said, what do you do? When Millicent said, what do you do with those wounds when they open? Those holes when they open back up, what do you do with that? And I was thinking, I said, that's God's entry right there. He puts you in a position like that where those holes open up and you're saying, what do I do with this? That is the moment that he steps in and says, okay, I'm here now. This is what you do. You talk to me about it. This is what you do. The reason why I brought those back up is because you refused to deal with it. You were too afraid. You were too hurt. You didn't know. But in order to move forward and be who I created you to be, you need to deal with this, or else I will keep bringing it back up. You will replay these moments over and over and over again until you deal with the hurt and the pain that you've gone through, because otherwise you won't be able to move on. And I can't move you and put you in that place that I have for you if you're still broken. So he keeps making us, I don't know if I've gone through days where I believe, I kid you not, that I live the same day over and over again. It's like it's repeating. And I'm like, I could have sworn I went through this already. and I'm saying this day seems familiar. It's because I refuse to work on myself and, you know, do the necessary things to pull myself up out of those broken places. That God had to step back in and say, we're not going anywhere. You're going to sit right here and we're going to repeat this over and over and over again until you are willing to do the work to heal yourself, to let me heal you. And it's a process. Now, God is not doing the healing on his own. You got to play a part in that. So even though he's stepping in and he's telling you this is what you need to do, you got to do the work. He's telling you, go see this person. You got to go see him. Read the scriptures. You got to read them. You got to sit and talk to them. Have a conversation when something comes up. What do I need to do next? You got to put those steps in place. It's not only him talking to you and putting his hands on you and healing you and putting his hands over that hole in your soul and trying to heal you. You got to do the work. You have to want to do it, or it's really not going to matter. So he places you there over and over and over again on that floor crying, because I've been there sitting there snot running down my nose for like an hour. I mean, snot. And I'm sitting, and I ain't never cried like that before. And I was like, this is, you got to be kidding me. I'm on the floor, sitting on the floor in my craft room, snot and everything, just a crying. I don't like stuff like this, kicking like a little child. Legs was flying, arms was flying. I said, I don't like feeling like this at all. He said, well, I mean, I tried to, you tried to put every block up you could possibly do not to work on this, but we're going to work on it. See, now you by yourself. I done pulled you out of the marriage. I done pulled you out of all of this stuff. I done got rid of all these people that you had to surround yourself with. Now it's just me and you. Now you've got to work on it. Now I'm in your face, and we're going to work on this now. He does that on purpose. When people, like Stacey said earlier, when people start disappearing, they start disappearing. Now all of a sudden ain't nobody around. You can't find nobody. Nobody calling you. That's on purpose. That is on purpose. He is isolating you purposely so you can do the work you need to do to get yourself healed so you can move on. Because that's the only way you can move on right. Otherwise, if you do not work on yourself, all that hurt and pain is going to fester, and it's going to show up at the most unopportune time. And it's going to keep showing up, and it's going to destroy your whole world because it's saying, I'm here, and I'm not going nowhere until you do the work to fill me up. That's
wow.
It. That's how it is. It keeps showing up. And the Bible is a mirror. Every time you read that Bible, you find out something else. You thought you was all that. You thought you were done. You read a scripture in that Bible, especially Proverbs, and you say, ooh, can't do that no more. Okay, that's something else I need to change. You know? So it's a work in progress, but I'm done. I'm fine.
Okay, thank you. You have to do the work. You got to do the work. Have to do the work. I mean, can't say it enough. You have to do the work.
Uh-huh.
And it's when you're in that hard place, you don't want to do the work. You want to find a place of escape, but no. Yea, though I walk through, you have to go through. You're not going to be stuck. But at this time, we have a very special panelist that just joined us. Her name is Christian Starr. She is a part of Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. She is the editor for Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. She is my co-host for all of the shows we used to do a long time ago. And she has her own editing company called Archine Editing. So I know we have a bunch of authors on the line. And she is a wonderful point of contact for those that need help with editing your book. She provides a holistic service for a writer, not just editing, but she helps you grow as an individual. But I would like to introduce you to her. She is on the mic with us tonight. And Christian, I'm so glad you was able to meet us. The mic is yours.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I am just sitting back listening. Thank you, Stacey, for the introduction. You are always so gracious. This is my day one sister. one of the few people I know I can call and look, we will keep it 100 of our life, living the whole nine. And so she's one of the few people I don't have to talk to every day, but I just know that they're always there. And I thank God for that. I have just been listening. A few things came to mind. I know the topic is supposedly overthinking, if I'm not correct, if I'm correct.
Overthinking, do you have a hole in your heart? We went over the lyrics to the song for Donald Lawrence, This Is My Exodus. But whatever God placed on your heart.
I have that on the playlist.
Okay.
Holes in the heart show up in so many different ways. There's some ways that it shows up, and there is a work, a great and mighty work that has to be done that brings us back to God. I never forget being in church one Sunday and hearing Bishop Ivy Hilliard tell us that God stood at the same place that he stood at the moment you walked away from him. And that was profound to me because I was, when I came into Christ, of the mind that I will not submit to a schizophrenic God. I will not submit to a God that's going to keep putting me through it, keep bringing me through it, keep spinning me around. What is really going on here? Is there an answer? Like, what are we doing here? And that was something I had in my mind, on my mind for a while. And he kept saying that one particular Sunday that at the place that you walk away from God, that is the place he's still standing at. And he's waiting for you at that place. So it made me realize that everything that happens between the moment that I walked away, and even if I didn't know, to the moment I am, that didn't have anything to do with God. That was on me. That was on me. That was on life. It was on decisions. It was on flesh. It left me out there with Satan. When people start to disappear, God don't have to remove them. Life will remove them. God don't have to remove them. Consequences will remove them. God doesn't have to remove them. Death will remove them. The thing that, you know, you can't tolerate anymore will remove them. And he's just sitting there waiting for you to turn around and realize he's the only person still sitting there. That was a very interesting revelation, especially when my dad died. Holes in the heart show up for so many different reasons. When it shows up because you lost someone, it's not necessarily because you did something wrong that a work is required for. You have to do a different type of adjusting, if that makes sense. You know, God has to come in and dry some tears. There has to be some adjusting. There has to be some not overplaying the conversation, overplaying the situation. Sometimes we find ourselves on the hamster wheel because we just chose to keep running on it. Life is choice-driven. And there is a dominion that God gave man when he created us that we lost in the garden and that Jesus died to give back. He took them keys back, went to hell, got them, and gave them back. In so many situations, God is waiting on us. He ain't replaying my day like Groundhog Day. I am. I couldn't let it go. So it's on replay in my head. God is saying, we over here. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to think about it some more. Nah, I'm going to deal with it some more. A lot of us are not speaking our truth. The Bible says you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. How many of us are biting our tongues about the truth? So you're on a hamster wheel because it's in your head. And you didn't get it out. There's a time to be quiet. True. There's a time to speak to a man. There's a thing called consequence. And you've been sitting out there waiting for everybody that chooses to buck with it. I agree with everything I've heard. The only perspective I would like to submit is that there is more power in us as children of God. There are certain things God is not going to do for us because his son died for it and it was deposited or awakened on the inside of us at the moment we chose him. Even if we are, you know, not in the best place at that moment, we have to decide to get up. We have to decide when we're going to stop crying.
We have to decide when we're going to stop kicking and screaming. We have to make choices. We have to make decisions. And at the moment we make those decisions, he's there. He's already there. He's waiting for us to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. He can't stop us from doing it. You know, God is all seeing. He's all knowing. In this dispensation, he's not all doing. And that's something I've had to learn the hard way. My mother used to always say, whenever if you decide if you're going to have a good day or not, it's your father's death anniversary, are you going to kick, scream, cry, and holler and keep asking why or not? You don't have the answer to get up and start moving. The hole in your heart doesn't have to be closed in order to start moving. It closes as you move. It closes when you, it starts the process when you say, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to wash my face. I've had enough of this. Lord, I've had enough. I'm ready. I've had enough. All right, now what are we doing here? I've had enough, Lord. That was what was resonating in me as I was listening.
Thank you so much. Now, Edna has to leave, so we're going to let her share, and then we're going to come right back, whoever that was getting ready to say something. But, Edna, thank you for your patience. You can give your remarks. Okay.
Thank you. I just want to say I thank God for each and every one of you on tonight and ask you to remember to read Psalms 27:7. It says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me," because he will. And I look forward to doing this again. God bless you and God keep you.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
Bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Love you too.
Okay, now someone was getting ready to comment after Christian was speaking.
I was just saying powerful.
Yes.
What she said was powerful, yeah.
And you can connect what she said to what you were saying. You have to do the work. Now, Christian, the moment you said power, Luke 9:1 came to me. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. Now, dig this. She said, your heart does not have to be healed. As you go, it will be healed. And so Jesus spoke to the man at Bethesda Pool. He said, do you want to be made whole? And he made a whole bunch of excuses. But we don't have room for excuses. We got to eliminate the excuses because God has given us power and authority. And in Luke 10:19, it says power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And at the end of the day, we must be willing to get up and go. Isaiah 52:1, it says, awake, awake, and put on strength. Even if you broken, put on strength. Even if you got a hole in your heart, put on strength. Christian, I love what you said about you know, dad dying. I know that's a sensitive topic for you, and I thank you for elaborating on that. But grief, death, a loss can create a hole in our heart in so many ways. But as we go, our hearts will heal. But we have to go. We can't stay stuck. When the Israelites and Moses, they was before the Red Sea, God said, what you crying to me for? Tell the people to move forward. God knew the water was still there. But he couldn't part the Red Sea until they moved forward. So my question tonight to everyone that is listening, are you ready to move forward? We talked about a lot of things tonight. We talked about a hole in the soul. Millicent broke down the mind, the will, the emotions, our intellect. And, you know, we grew up responding to our feelings and our emotions. But as we grew and as we grow in our relationship with God, you know, which is personal, we learn how to trust him. And the things we used to do, you know, we don't do anymore. We learn a new way to do things, and that's putting on the word of God, walking in the word of God, living the word of God. And I mean, to me, it's like I'm going to walk away. My takeaway tonight is going to be Erica's word. You got to do the work. You could cry all night long, but you have to do the work. Millicent, talk about the pressurization, the various rocks. Are you willing, ready, and able to renew your mind? You have to let some things go. You got to cut some cords. God is going to remove some people, places, and things out of your life. Are you going to cry and say, oh, God, but I really, really want that? Or are you going to be a big girl and say, hey, okay, God, I know you have something better for me. I'm ready to let that go. Show me how to grow through the things I learned through that situation, person, place, or thing, which was one of the questions that was presented earlier. So the mic is open. And we are coming to the end of the show. We're down to 17 minutes. So who's next on the mic?
I got two things real quick. Thank you, Christian Star. That was a good word. And I just wanted to say that she said we are on the hamster wheel. We get in that thing and we stay in it and stuck in it. We keep thinking on it. And the Bible is clear about what we're thinking on and what things we should be meditating on. And it's not that hurt. It's not that pain. It's not that it's those things that are lovely and pure and true. That's the first thing to get out of anything is to be truthful with it. That thing hurt me. And that's the first part, the first step. Or this person did this to me, but what was their issue? My daddy wasn't there for me because he was a drug addict. You know what I mean? Or my mother wasn't there for me because we got to be truthful. So we got to think on whatsoever things are true and those things that are honest and those things that are just and those things that are pure and those things that are lovely and good report. These are the things that we have to keep our minds stayed on and not that thing that continues to open that heart, that hole in our heart continuously and over and over and over again. And I just want to leave you with Romans 15 Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may be abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, be filled with peace, love, and joy. Fill those holes with those things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. I love how all of the scholars on the line throwing these scriptures out there. That's what it's all about. But again, we got to apply them. You know, we have
mm-hmm.
to do the work. Who's next?
Mm-hmm. This is my lasting thought. God is with us no matter what happens. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
holes happen because we are not living in our truth. The
mm-hmm.
truth of how God made us, how he fashioned us to be. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we are injured because we're not doing what it is we could be doing because we're just afraid to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us time to think about and overthink, or as my mama say, overcook your beans about
mm-hmm.
what you're hurting and suffering lives. Because mm-hmm. there's joy, which is our strength, in doing the things that God has us to do. Good example. There's a piece I'm supposed to be writing with an interview that I did with someone recently that was a really angering situation, to say the least. But I know that if it gets published, it's going to put me somewhere that I'm not at right now. And my anguish, when you start talking about holes in your heart, it's not just because somebody died. It's not just because somebody left you. It's not just because you had a fallout with a friend, a man, or a human being. Sometimes the hole in your heart is the fallout you are having with your own purpose and calling.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a different type of hole because there's an unfulfillment there. Anytime we talk about a hole in our heart, there's a hole there because there's something that once was there or is supposed to be there. It's not fulfilled. So we feel like something's missing. What happens when it's your purpose that's missing? Trust me. And sure, as the gifts and callings of the Lord are without repentance, I promise you it hasn't gone anywhere, but it will feel that way because we're not walking in it. So I have sat at a keyboard for a week, paralyzed, every single time I got ready to touch those keys. And I have overcooked my beans for a week. What if I'm not qualified? What if they call my social media? What will my dad say about this? But what if I, maybe I should just dial it back a bit. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Okay, Lord, I got it, but maybe I shouldn't say it that way. But what if it fails? But what if I fail? But what if this looks bad? But what if it goes bad? Oh, crap, I see how it happens on social media. What if it happens to me like that? What if? I'm on a hamster wheel, y'all. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 said, be strong enough, good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. We always go to only be strong and of good courage. You see that inheritance situation? That land that's supposed to be ours? They didn't. They went for 40 years, man, because they thought they were that small. They didn't go take what God told them to, the children of Israel, because they thought they were that small.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a point where you have to be willing to walk, move. Again, like I said, you get more on your way and catch that fulfillment as you get into your place called there. Maybe too much time is being thought in the social realm, whether it be lust, crazy children, crazy people, you know, who did what to me, when, where, because there's no other focus. And you know where that focus is supposed to be because God already showed you where that focus is supposed to be. But do you feel like grasshoppers in the midst of giants when you look over there? You know, do you feel so small in a space that's so big? But only to be strong and of good courage, if we're going to observe to do all those things that the servant commanded and turn not to the left or the right, we will promise that we will prosper whatsoever thou goest. That should have been enough, but God had to come back in verse 9, have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage. Be ye not afraid, be thou not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest.
Yes.
As much as he told them they were going to have, as much as he told them he would give them, he had to come back and reiterate. Didn't I tell you get up and move? Have not I commanded thee? Get up and move. Go over there, knowing that I am in front of you, behind you, I'm with you. Go. Sometimes the healing is a get up and go, and it's in your purpose area, not necessarily everywhere else. We can deal with all the other stuff. If you focus on your purpose, all the other stuff will deal with itself. And you be off the hamster wheel, you won't be spinning because, hey, you got your hands full. And when you got your hands full, you know, like 2 Thessalonians 4:11, you prospering because you're minding your own business and tending to your own field, your own calling. And while we're tending to our business, that hole in the heart is just getting sewn up. We didn't even realize it was getting sewn up because we about the Father's business right now. We got stuff to do. It will pull you out of bed when you feel like you cannot get up. It will put you on your feet and you feel like you can't get up. Just take the Father's business. Knowing he got you no matter how scary it looks. That's the problem, man.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Christian. I know you have different topics that you do want to bring to the table, but I'm going to ask you to host a show about the hamster wheel because I've been getting a lot of feedback from the ladies on the panel about the hamster wheel. I mean, that was a great analogy, and I just wanted to put it out there. You could chew on it and, you know, get back to me. But everybody, your assignment is to present to me an email what your topic is going to be. Nobody has to do homework or none of that stuff, research. We're all, you know, adults here. Whatever the topic is, we're coming back to the table next Friday, same time. And whoever the co-host is, I'm going to assign everyone that will have a time. But I just want you to really think about your purpose for coming to the table. What is the real talk? What is the truth that God wants you to release to those that will listen, whether it's men or women, because we're going to be reaching souls, and it doesn't matter if it's a male or a female. So, Millicent, I want to turn the mic over to you, and after Millicent, we're going to let Erica give her, we're going to let Jamie L. go with closing remarks, and then Millicent, and then Erica. And we're down to 8 minutes, so we have to kind of wrap it up.
Okay.
Jamie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for all the shares today. I was just sitting there boo-hooing like a 2-year-old because it's just so blessed, you know, all the gems that I needed to hear, you know, and I just know that, you know, God is going to bless the people that listen to this, you know, just by y'all transparency. You know, the main thing I took out was, you know, just moving forward, you know, while God is healing me, you know, putting my faith in action, you know, trusting that he is going to be with us regardless what we're going through in our life, and that, you know, we're going to prevail and overcome regardless of what happens, you know. And, you know, I'm so blessed by this call today. I'm really thankful that Stacy sent it to me. And I just pray for everyone on here, you know, that they will continue to grow in their faith and, you know, continue to help other people heal their wounds and come to know who God is. So thank you for allowing me to be a guest on here. God bless everyone.
Bless you.
God bless you too. And it's okay to cry, girls. Anybody got to cry, go ahead and cry. Tito, pass me some tissues. Because we have to laugh, and that's something, you know, Erica is always laughing and cracking jokes. Like, we got to loosen up. We ain't no mechanical soldiers. Like, let's be real. Come on, Millicent, bring it on home.
Yeah, so Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, I'm reading in the King James Version, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I just wanted to say that real quick, that, you know, we're going to continue to go through different things in our life because we're here. We're walking out our faith. We're, you know, walking with God, and the enemy is going to continue to come against us. And that stuff is not going to end until we're off this earth, until we, you know, pass away in the Lord or whatever. But God is going to wipe away all those tears from our eyes. And so some of the pains and sorrows that we go through, we know that there's an end, that trouble don't last always, that it's not going to always be this. And I just thank God for that, because at the end of the thing, we know that there's deliverance. At the end of the thing, we know that there's joy. At the end of the thing, we know that there's praise, and we don't have to stay in our situation. So hopefully that gives people hope and, you know, to go another day, to go another step. And I just want to say also thank you, ladies, all of you, for the word. And I definitely want to hear about that wheel, the hamster on the wheel, because that, oh, my God, oh, my God, I'm not even going to get into it. I need to hear that. So looking forward to it. Love you all.
Love you,
thank
too.
You for putting that plug in. So now she got to work on it.
My bad.
That, look, you just sealed it. But that was powerful. That's how a rock between the hard place. That's how that message was when you released it. So, you know, God is moving. Okay, Erica.
Amen.
Okay, I just wanted to, this is sort of like piggyback and off of, I think it's Christian, right? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
When you talked about the purpose and we're not walking in our purpose, and sometimes that hole is that's what it is, because we're not walking in it. And I completely agree with that, absolutely, 100%, because we tend to replace our hurt with more people and more things to do, which delays the process. And sometimes that actually, we're causing more damage to ourselves than we actually, you know that we are. You know, God is trying to reach us, but we keep throwing everything in, you know, blocking him from getting to us by using people and using things. And that just delays the process. And also, we're people who are about seeing and not believing. So what we see, we go by. It's hard for us to believe. Just like the 40 years to get to Israel that God had planned for the Hebrews to go into that land and take it over, 40 years, he delayed that process because he wanted them to see his signs and wonders. He wanted them to believe who he was real. And that's why he did that. But they were so into the signs and the wonders, and they had to see, and everything they saw, they believed it. And that's the kind of people, basically everyone, not everyone on this earth, but the majority of human beings, we don't believe something unless we see. You know what I mean? So it's difficult for us to believe sometimes in our going through our situations that God is real. He's here, you know, with us, and he always will be. It's because we're always looking to see something, and we're not always looking to believe through various instances in our lives, very like small miracles that he gives to us, you know, to let us know he's here. But I think it was right before I spoke, I can't remember your name, but you said your trouble doesn't last always, and it doesn't. Life gets easier, not in the sense that your problems stop, but you're able to deal with them better once you develop that relationship and you understand what the process is about, how it's going, that God is always here, and there's always a reason why you go through what you go through. It's a process to make you grow and to be more like Jesus and walk that walk. So you become stronger, but you also still need to lean on somebody. So there's people out here that you can trust, that you can lean on, that you can talk to. And we as human beings have to do a better job at being there for our sisters and our brothers and just listening to them without judging. And I think we can be we can get much farther with that process if we just listen to our brothers and sisters and kind of let them know that they're not by themselves.
Amen. Christian, you want to give your closing remarks?
I will work on this hamster wheel.
Okay.
It applies to many areas. It's a bottom line principle for people like myself that are drastic overthinkers. It has been wonderful sitting in this space, even for this short amount of time. Stacey, it's good to be back in the hot seat. yeah, because you know, as it goes, my seat stays on hot.
Yes, but, Lord.
Yes, but
y'all gonna have to put your seatbelts on.
I pray and speak healing for everyone. We all have something that we are going through or working with, and God is working with us on. We just have to realize he's working with us. The initial power is already in us. Jesus said, greater things will you do. And because greater things will you do, in the passage that Stacy brought up in Luke, the last line of that is, and nothing shall by him no means hurt you.
Yes.
So with that, know that we can be injured. We don't have to be hurt. In sports, there's a difference. Coaches will ask you, are you injured or are you hurt? If you hurt, you sidelined, you out the game, taken back to the locker room. If you're injured, you get up and keep going. We can be injured, but nothing and no one, not demon, not person, not self, has the power to hurt us. If we get hurt at some point, we have to own. God is not trying to teach us a lesson. He's not bringing us around to deal with it again. That is on us. Because we let that happen. And we have the power and dominion to make stuff. And that's very hard to wrap our minds around. But it's Bible and it's fact. We have the strength, the power, the dominion to make it stop. So I pray everyone's healing from their injuries, even when your heart is injured. But my sisters and brothers in Christ, there's brothers out there listening. You ain't hurt. I'm not even going to speak that on you. I ain't going to let you speak it on yourself. You're not hurt because you're not out the game. That's all I got to say on that.
Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone for joining the table, the discussion tonight. I'm very pleased with how everything went, how we all flowed together. Please lift everyone in prayer. Prepare your outlines or your topics and get them in so that I can do, you know, the advertisements and schedule the upcoming shows. But I speak blessings over everyone and thank God for creating in each and every one of us a clean heart and renewing in us a right spirit. And God bless you, and everyone have a blessed and safe weekend. Good night.
You too. God bless you all.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night. Good night. God bless.
God bless you.